faster than a bolt of lightning! More powerful than a Jedi Master! Able to leap tall stacks of comics in a single bound! Look! Up on the web! It's a show! It's a podcast! It's In the Comics! We'll bring you anything and everything a comics fan could want, because we're in the mix! And now, in this exciting issue...
Special holiday episode. Welcome to In the Comics, the podcast that's in the mix of all things comics. I'm your host, Russell Johnson, and here with me, as always, Mr. David Cottingham.
Hello, everybody.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa, whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever you celebrate there. This is issue number 46 of the podcast, and you can follow the show by visiting inthecomics.com. There you can find links and listen to subscribe to the show, as well as links to follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, and Facebook, where we keep you updated with all the latest news, previews, and reviews throughout the week. On the show, we'll review the latest new releases, including our must-buy of the week. We'll also talk a little news, answer some listener questions, and before we bag and board the show, we'll preview what's hitting your local comic book shelves next week. The show is brought to you by A-Plus Comics and Collectibles, Lexington's number one comic shop. A-Plus constantly strives to provide a positive retail experience for the whole family, staffed by friendly and knowledgeable personnel who want you to leave the store satisfied. Visit them at apluscomics.com. A-Plus Comics, where customers come first.
Please help to support the podcast by stopping by inthecomics.com and visit our sponsors like GoDaddy.com, Sideshow Collectibles, Superhero Stuff, and many more for all your comics, collectibles, and gaming needs. In the Comics is part of the 21 Network. That's a collection of podcasts for the fan and all of us. Visit 21network.com for this podcast and all of our great shows, including KooCast, Inside the Force, Popular Fanatics, 21 Podcasts, The Ale Mary Podcast, and Star Wars TCG. For the latest news and updates from all the shows, follow us at 21 Network.
Also, you can follow Dave and I on Twitter. You can follow Dave at DCottingham21 or follow me at Director421. Remember, we are going throughout the rest of this year with the best titles of 2013. Please submit your favorite comics of this year, best titles, indie, Marvel, DC, whatever, and hashtag it with best comics with an X 2013 so we can go through and... Sometime beginning of 2014, we'll go over our best comics of the year. We'll have a special episode talking about all the great books that came out this year and all related comic book news and all the big things that happened in 2013. So, Dave, how's the holiday going so far? We're 5 days away from Christmas Day.
Yeah, 5 days away, but today was my daughter's birthday.
Happy birthday, Sammy. We'll say from Uncle Russ from the other side of Lexington or the other side of Fayette County.
Yes. So we had that to do tonight, dinner and opened her presents and cake and all that stuff. And so that's why we're recording this a little later, because she stayed up a little later than normal playing with her new toys. So
nice. What was the big gift this year?
She wanted a baby crib.
Like
a little baby crib. I mean, a little plastic crib or whatever, but, she got that from me and my wife, and then her grandparents got her the Lala Loopsie. Have you heard of Lala Loopsie?
Yep. Yeah. I've heard of Lala Loopsie.
So she got a little doll from her, and then she got a couple puzzles from her aunt and stuff. She loves putting puzzles together. So.
No, oh, cool.
Yeah. Good birthday. Awesome. But see, that's the disadvantage. I guess kind of the disadvantage of being a Christmas baby, you know?
Yeah.
We were saving everything for 5 days from now, so.
Yeah, it's got to be tough.
I mean, I'm the 10th, so.
Right.
I had a couple things by my birthday and then more on Christmas, but yeah.
Yeah, they always try to tie it together. Just wait till December 25th and get all your birthday presents.
Our buddy Josh Bentley, his birthday is Christmas.
Is it?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
He was born on December 25th.
Well, now.
Yeah.
It's got all kinds of implications right there, doesn't it?
That's bad news.
I guess they got to do something extra special for that. Mm-hmm. Well, like I say, we are 5 days away from Christmas Day, and so we're calling this our holiday special. We will be off next week. I think all the actual 21 podcasts may be off next week, but we'll be off next week because there's only – this is a what Diamond Direct or Diamond Distributors likes to call their skip week. They're not shipping anything next week, so they shipped all of our books for Tuesday, this past Tuesday, which I'm kind of bummed about because I should have read Forever Evil and Justice League already, but I didn't. I wait. You know, I don't care. But those Marvel's got two books coming out. They got Origin 2, the Wolverine Origin 2 coming out, and they got Avengers 24 Point Now, which is their kind of the big book for them. And of course, DC has I should be doing this at the end of the show, but there's only four books. we got Forever Evil number 4, and then we got Justice League number 26. So DC's got some big books.
Yeah.
Even though they're only two books, they're the big books. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that. So I'm getting ahead of ourselves on that, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. So that's why we'll be off next week. We hope everyone has a fantastic holiday. Enjoy, spend time, read comics. Hope you get some comic-related stuff, some toys, some action figures.
So the, yeah.
I know, so the next Dave time, for his birthday, what Dave get for his birthday from the 21 crew?
Well, I think we talked about it last week, didn't we? But
did we talk about it?
Maybe not. Because that was after my birthday. But anyway, I tweeted out the
Chad the picture. Yes,
yeah, you and Chad got me the Dark Side Justice League figure.
He's been talking about for a year. Since last year.
Maybe a year and a half, I think is when it's... Man, it's awesome. It's and I actually... It's the first one I've bought that I took out of the box. So,
ooh, yeah, that's big for you, man.
It's sitting that's right huge. Here on my podcast... on my podcast table right there.
Lovely. Nice. Digging it.
So, that's...
Like in the dark side.
Yeah, it's going to be sitting there right there, so... It's awesome, and this very is going to cool. make me. This is almost makes me want to buy the Trinity set. You know, Batman, uh-huh. Superman, Wonder Woman. So I can take them out and like put them around him. I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah,
because I have those. There's
figures. A Trinity War one that's got the three characters right. in it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was thinking about getting that, and eventually maybe putting them out on display with him. But see, like my bookshelf that you see behind me.
Mm-hmm.
He can't. He doesn't
see behind you, but
yeah, exactly. I'm talking to you. Yeah, you. Rusty's behind me. He doesn't even fit on there. He's too tall. Jeez. So I don't know. I might have to find just a blank shelf. I'll put it on the wall or something.
Very cool.
But yeah, good birthday so far.
Awesome.
Yeah. But awesome. What I was gonna say was next time you hear us, it'll actually be 2014 then. So
it will be. We'll all be gone. Yeah. Yeah, because we'll go through the new year.
Yep.
It'll be new year before you hear us again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not even sure when the books are coming out for the week of New Year's. I'm not sure if they're coming out on Tuesday or Thursday.
Right.
Not really sure yet. But I'm assuming based on what they've done now that we keep it on Tuesday, on Christmas Eve, because that'd be the final, you know, the final days of December. So they get one more week out of their books as opposed to jumping in, because they have to go all the way to January. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
So pick up the few books that you're going to get next week. Sit down, read your comics, get your, you know, toys and games, and if you want to, tweet us your pictures of your gifts. The gifts you got, the comic relay that you got.
Yeah.
Cuz I'm sure I'm not getting a lot, but I mean I still have a lot of comic books. So, all right. So this week was a fairly hefty week. We didn't get to read a ton. I think all of us have been busy with Christmas and trying to get stuff ready. I've been trying to get some family stuff done for Christmas this year round. But there was a good chunk of books that came out, and Image had a lot of books this week.
Mm-hmm.
I will say before we get into like the DC books, there was a couple that I read from Dark Horse. I read the final issue of Buzzkill number 4 that came out. That was a very cool story, interesting story, and how it wrapped up. I think it wrapped up in such a way that even the writer had tweeted out. He's like, so who read Buzzkill number 4 and who's upset by it? Because it ends in a kind of weird place. But it was pretty poignant. It was a pretty interesting story about, you know, a guy who, any kind of drug, whether it be caffeine, alcohol, actual drugs, hard drugs, whatever, give him superpowers. And he ends up having to battle his dad, who has the same powers at the, when it all comes down to it. So it was a cool little story. He's a hero who's trying to get clean and kind of get a normal life with his girlfriend and stuff like that. So it was a very cool, interesting story. And also we had the reboot, relaunch of Ghost from Dark Horse, which is a book that came out, was popular back in the day, back in the 80s and 90s. And they had a brief series of it not all that long ago, but Ghost number 1 came out last week. It's kind of a sentimental favorite of mine, so I picked it up. As Kelly Sue DeConnick, who writes Captain Marvel, Pretty Deadly, this is her book for Dark Horse. She wrote it last go around as well, and I liked it. If you liked any of the Ghost stories and her whole storyline, this is a very action packed first issue. Mostly with Ghost, it seems like there's a lot of, because she's a character who's between two worlds, and it gets a little kind of heady at times, but this was a pretty action-packed first issue. I really dug it. It was good. So it was fun. So I like, glad to see that back, and I hope it continues to do well. I like Kelly Sue DeConnick's work, especially like Pretty Deadly, and so if you want something a little different, check that out. And move right into DC. DC this week, we had, there were quite a few good books. Dave, what was on your must buys from DC this week?
Well, I'm there was a couple. There was Harley Quinn number 1 that I picked up. Batman and Robin. Well, Batman Two-Face 26, and then Rogue's Rebellion and Pandora, and then I'm caught up on Animal Man, so I'm reading Animal Man. So, but like you, it was rough to get some books in, but I did read. I definitely wanted to read, which is my must buy is the whole Pandora and the story with Blight right now. That's actually, I mean, it's really good, and it is one of them things where, and I think we've said it a few times, but I mean, I went back because I didn't read it last week, but I went back and read Constantine number 9 last week.
Right.
Which, I mean, is directly right before. I mean, you really have to read those.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this is one of them things where
the tight crossover.
Yeah, you can't just read Pandora and get the whole story. Which I like. I mean, I like, each week the next chapter basically, and it's okay if it's cross books, if it's this good, because this is, you know, I mean, it's 18 part series, so
yes,
it is. It's really cool to see this thing unfold, because it is just like, it's not just a chapter in it. I mean, it is a continuing story, and in this one, it's, you know, it kind of, if you read Constantine last week, it kind of ended with Blight basically about to strike down on him, and Pandora comes in and saves him, and then they're just battling Blight. I mean, this is, and you learn more about each. What's really cool about this one, actually, and this is something I didn't know. I was kind of looking her up. So Nightmare Nurse is actually a brand new character, is she not?
As far as I know,
yeah. I tried to look her up, and it said for her first appearance was Phantom Stranger this July.
Yeah.
So, because I couldn't, I was looking her up there whether or not she was evil, if she was a villain, but I guess she's not. I don't know what she really is. I know she's been, I guess, messing around with Constantine before. But because what was really good about this book was, did you read it?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I liked it a lot.
What was really good is that you actually saw them be heroes, you know.
Right.
And them, I mean, Nightmare Nurse, Swamp Thing, Phantom Stranger, and Pandora. Because it was funny because, you know, Constantine's like, you know, we just got to get the hell out of here, you know, and all of a sudden he turns around and they're gone and they're over there trying to help some humans get out of a building, you know, and all this stuff. So it was really cool to see them kind of almost like they're the new dark team in a sense right now.
Sure.
So it was really good. It was pretty cool. I'm liking it's a weird parallel kind of that this is happening while the whole syndicate stuff's happening, you know?
Right.
Which is kind of, yes. Which ultimately is, I guess, the cause of this. Now those creatures that he's got, those are the seven sins. Did I read that right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're the sins. They're sins who transformed into actual monsters.
Okay.
That were,
yeah,
carries around with them to attack and you get all
That's
kinds
pretty
of
crazy.
Evil. Yeah. I'm with you. I, you know, when they first announced this crossover event, I was kind of skeptical on it. I was like, oh man, I felt like they were, cause it was announced so late.
Yeah.
In the Forever Evil thing, that when it started, I was like, oh, was this going to be good? Or like, maybe they're just trying to push some more story. And I was afraid it was going to get just muddled and just be a push for more Forever Evil stuff. But I tell you what, it's a surprisingly good series. I mean, the books have always been, I've always liked these books since I've jumped on them. But this is really good. This is surprisingly good. I like the way the storyline, I like the characters, I like this part of the universe. It's
yes.
different, but it's still mm-hmm. tied into Forever Evil, and it doesn't feel like it's forced on us. It's not like, hey, well, we're just going to throw another Forever Evil story arc on you. I'm like you. I don't mind a crossover that has 18 parts as long as it's every week.
Yes.
Keeps the story moving, and it's this good. It has been really good. I think with some of the writers, I don't know how much they say and some of these other characters at all, but I'm sure there's a plan to have this bigger crossover. Everybody's kind of, you know, plotting together to figure out where the story's going. So yeah, I was really happy with it. I like where this is going. I like the way this particular chapter ended. You know,
yeah.
in the house of mystery, it's like, okay, that's not good.
Yeah, not at all. But it does make me wonder a little bit what they're gonna do with Pandora once this is over, because all of her books have been tie-ins, you know, so far.
Mm-hmm.
It started with Trinity War. You know, it had the Trinity War at the top of it. Now it has Forever Evil at the top of it. So I'm wondering, after this, all the death subtles, what becomes of Pandora, because she's really tied to
absolutely
all of this stuff that's happening. So, and also Phantom Stranger in a sense too.
Absolutely.
Now,
mm-hmm.
Now,
because he's responsible for the kid who becomes Blight.
Correct.
I mean, at least in the physical manifestation of Blight, you know. So
now I was
he's tightly wound into this as well.
Yeah. Now, two questions. One, where did I miss? Because the last time we saw them together, they had the question. Now, where did he go? Remember, he constantly got them all three together, right? Did he just back out?
Constantine, Swamp Thing, and Nightmare Nurse got all three of them, brought them all three together, and it was after.
And that was Justice League Dark.
He disappeared. He disappeared. I believe he disappeared after the I don't know if it was Constantine or where were we? Constantine or Phantom Stranger, where I think it was Phantom Stranger, where they found out they were not back at the Rock of Eternity. Remember,
they were in the house.
Constantine had said, they were told they were at the Rock of Eternity at first, and they were actually in the house. And I think that what happened in, they found out about it in Phantom Stranger.
Right.
You know, said, oh, we're really not, we're actually in the House of Mystery. So I think something happened to him at that point. I'm not really sure.
Because it was in
Constantine is when they got attacked by Blight out in the open, outside the House of Mystery, and they were battling that whole storm. So I'm not sure what happened to him.
And then the second thing is, I'll go back and read it. And the second thing was there was one cutscene in Pandora, and I was kind of confused on what. Were you confused on it, or is that something I'm supposed to know? There was a cutscene in between where it cut to these two mystery dark people, and one was going through a portal. It looked like. And it was a crime syndicate thing. I think it was, It kind of just felt random, and I was like, man, did I miss something? Because I'm not sure what, you know what I'm talking about? It's like,
that was the that was the Phantom Stranger channeling those people out of that house.
No.
That's the only portal I see. Like, the people who are in danger, they went in there. Phantom Stranger made a portal where they came through to outside into the city. He transported them, and then it got back to them fighting Blight and the Sins.
Okay,
in the open.
I'm thinking of. I might be thinking of a different book. What book did I read that in? Maybe that was. Oh, you know what? That was Constantine. Never mind. That's right. It was Constantine because I read it right before. I read Pandora. It was a scene in Constantine where I was like, "What is?" Okay. Oh, it's when it was where they. It says somewhere else, and it was where they had. They had Sargon. From the
that's from the Constantine storyline earlier on.
Okay,
before this all happened.
I haven't read that.
When he started his own title, he started off battling the Cold Flame. That was a big tie-in right before Forever Evil happened.
Okay.
He was going through all that, so they're flashing back to when he was Sargon and all that.
Happening? Is that the Crime Syndicate?
That's the Cold Flame. No, that's the Cold Flame. That's a whole different. That's it, the magical evil side of things that are going after Constantine and his storyline. They're trying to put together these three pieces of this clock that actually can control magic, and they all came together to go after Constantine and kill him basically and get all the pieces because Constantine knew where they all were. So that was a whole big battle he was having with them.
All right, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going
to
do
next. It's got a lot to it.
Yeah, I'm going to do that
as far as that goes.
I'm going to do that the next couple of weeks is catch up on that because I think I've read the first like 4 or 5 issues of Constantine.
Yeah, it's good. And you'll see how it all ties together. All right, so before we move on to another one we both read, I'll just pick up on you mentioned Harley Quinn. Number 1 came out. Issue 0 came out first.
Right,
and that was a pretty much a introduction with all the different artists and writers on it, and or artists anyway. And it was her breaking the fourth wall, talking about what she's going to do. And issue number 1 actually doesn't go that route. She doesn't break the fourth wall, but what I like to describe this as, some people says it's like she's like DC's Deadpool. And I think she's more like DC's Hawkeye. The Hawkeye book from Marvel is about, Hawkeye when he's not an Avenger. It's got some action. It's got some, him trying to fit into a normal world, doing his day-to-day things. There's some humor in it. And that's what I feel Harley Quinn is. It's her when she's not part of the Suicide Squad or dealing with Batman. So it's like her. She's inherited an apartment complex in Coney Island who has carnival workers who work downstairs and some shops, and then she controls so she has to get a job to make up the excess rent that they have to pay on this bill or taxes and all that kind of stuff. So it's her fitting into the real world, getting a job either as a psychiatrist or a roller derby girl, and there's all kinds of, it's just a fun book. There's action in it. It's Harley Quinn being funny and still crazy as always. And actually, I had read the sales of DC books in November, and Harley Quinn was actually number 2 to Batman. Issue 0 was. So I thought that was interesting, and it's different. Like I say, it's not part of any timeline. It's not going to tie into any kind of Batman story or anything like that. Maybe it will later down the road. Who knows? I'm sure, people will start to, or they'll start to tie more things into her, but this is her original, Harley trying to get a story. And it's a funny thing. You think about Harley Quinn, it's pretty simple. The cover says it all. She's standing there as a roller derby girl, and she goes to try out for a roller derby in Coney Island. And you could imagine Harley Quinn being coached on, and she's trying out for the team. Like, okay, here's what you want to do. You want to knock people over, and you want to make it look as good as possible. And of course, Harley Quinn's going to be great at that. And that's really the gist of the joke. But it's fun. It's a good voice for her if you like Harley Quinn. I think it's a cool book. I like it. It's different. It's a fun part of the DC universe, and I'm glad I like it. So that's my two cents on that. It's just a different book. I compare it. If you like Hawkeye for Marvel, I would suggest picking this up because I feel it's in the same vein. I don't think it's Deadpool. I think the whole thing with her breaking the fourth wall in that first issue may have made it seem like that, but it's definitely not that direction. I think it's more of, again, like a Hawkeye type book, which I'm glad DC's doing. It's a little different. So, what else did I read from DC this week? I did pick up Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Red Hood and the Outlaws has been really good. And I feel like Red Hood and the Outlaws is what the Teen Titans should have been. Because I get a lot of complaints from people about Teen Titans.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And I feel like this book is what Teen Titans should have been. This boils down to basically Ra's al Ghul he's reborn and new powers at the, you know, the secret base of the League of Assassins, and he's about to kill Red Hood, Jason, and it comes down to Roy and Starfire to kind of remind him who he is, and says, look, you've got the power all along to be a great hero. You've been trained by Batman. You've been, you know, you are stronger than you think you are. You can remember everything that you've been taught and trained by. You just have to want to do it. And you have to stand up to Ra's al Ghul. He's going to kill everyone. And man, Jason gets some wicked powers in here. And you find out some things about this whole storyline that's been going on. You know, the whole story kicked off after Death of the Family, where Jason took off and left Starfire and Arsenal to say, look, you know, I need to get on my own. I need to forget everything I've ever learned, become a different person. And we come to find out that may have not been, he may have had ulterior motives and it may have worked out in their favor, but it's cool. He fights the League of Bronze Tiger and fights Lady Shiva. And it was a nice, this book has been really good. It's been exciting. It's been action packed. It got a decent story to it. Like I say, I think it's what people have always wanted something like Teen Titans to be. Whereas Teen Titans seems to kind of meander a little bit, not really have a strong, I don't know. I don't read much of Teen Titans, so I'm kind of talking out of turn here, but, I've been reading Red Hood since issue 13, you know, back when I picked up all, I started reading DC, basically buying the issues at like issue 0 and picking up on 13 on for most of my books that I've been following. I've been following Red Hood all along, and it's always been good. It's always been entertaining. You know, it's James Tynion IV, you know, Scott Snyder disciple. So he's got that same kind of writing mentality, and it's good. It's action packed and, it's fun. So I dig that book. So the big Batman book this week was Batman and Two-Face, which is continuing, Tomasi and Patrick Gleason on this. And Dave, did you get a chance to read Batman Two-Face?
Actually, I'm about halfway through it right now.
I thought you were wrapped up. That's why I was moving on to it.
No.
You want me to move on to something else? Because I can talk Supergirl or Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Supergirl or Wonder Woman, yeah.
So I picked up Supergirl and Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman, this brings back the story of the firstborn. It deals with how not Apollo, but yeah, it is Apollo. It continues the storyline with her family, and Cassandra is taking on, it's the whole Wonder Woman family story that's happening. And it's been solid as always. It's been a great read. Is it Brian Azzarello who does this? Yes. He's been, it's been a really good story. I'd like to see, again, this is, Wonder Woman has always kind of stood out on its own. It doesn't really tie into any of the current story arcs. It's really her story on her own with her family and, you know, her becoming or trying to be forced by Orion, becoming the God of War. Orion is torturing the firstborn, and it's pretty brutal torture in this book. It's pretty freaky. And Wonder Woman has to come save her, it's a brother or cousin, I'm not sure, one of her family members who's blind, and his magic powers to see something in the future. It's crazy where this is going all across the board, and he's about to die, but, I can't remember, who's the guy's name with the helmet that has a weird little bicycle thing? I can't remember his name. But he comes in and saves him because he's his friend and jumps him through the boom tube before he's about to explode after being a bomb placed on him. But
You're not talking about Orion, is it?
It's not Orion. No. Oh, maybe it is Orion. Is it Orion?
I think it's Orion.
He's the one with the little tiny skinny bike, right? Okay, I'm talking about Apollo who's torturing. Okay, I'm confused here. These names, these god names always confuse me. Yeah. Apollo is torturing the firstborn because he captured him. And Wonder Woman is, Orion does come to save Wonder Woman's, another one of Wonder Woman's family because he's been strapped with a bomb. He's got to be shot through the boom tube and try to save him. But Wonder Woman's going back to go after Zola, who has the baby. She's been babysat by one of her evil sisters and is made to build and basically has forced Zola to leave her home and run away with the baby. And now Wonder Woman's like, where is she? And she meets up with a guy at the end, which is, I don't know who he is. And I don't want to give it away because he obviously has some sort of weird superpower. I don't know if he's a god or what, but he meets up with her in the subway system with the baby. And it's obviously going to go sideways real fast. But Wonder Woman's been solid, good as always. Supergirl, I just picked it up because I'm trying to get it. I want to get on Supergirl. I was on it for a while and I dropped off of it, but this is issue 26 and I'm going to start picking it up again at issue 27. That's going to kick off with her becoming the Red Daughter of Krypton.
Right.
Coming to Red Lantern, I want to get that whole arc. I want to get in the Red Lantern, Green Lantern, flip book they're going to have, all that stuff. So I've just picked up Supergirl to just kind of see where it's picked up. And now she is, she's back on Earth, and she goes down to this core of the Earth to see Dr. Veritas, who Superman goes to see quite a bit at the block, they call it. Because she feels like she has nowhere to go. She needs a friend. She lost her best friend who she abandoned before she went off into space because she had the kryptonite poisoning after killing. It's kind of cool. There's like a 2-page spread that basically tells her story from the time she came to Earth, found Clark, dealt with hell, killed him with kryptonite, and then got kryptonite poisoning, went back in time, I didn't read, but that was the
Return to Krypton crossover.
Return to Krypton. She talks a little bit about that, and now she's back on Earth, and she just like has nowhere to go. She goes to Dr. Veritas and say, hey, I need to get tested to see if the kryptonite poisoning's gone. She's clean, healthy. She's lost at this point. She doesn't know where to go, what to do. And the other side story here is the Lobo story. Now, we haven't seen Lobo, the new Lobo. I can't remember when I first saw him, what book did he appear in?
I think it was Teen Titans, wasn't it?
Was it Teen Titans he appeared in? His first, the new Lobo? What they call the original Lobo?
Well, the original.
He's supposed to be going after the Lobo now, who's apparently taking his name and his identity.
That was in his villain book.
Okay, so.
But I think he appeared, before that, didn't he? The fake Lobo now. Appeared.
Well, the fake Lobo, yes, yeah. But I'm talking about what DC New 52 is currently calling the original true Lobo.
That was the villain book, the Justice League.
The young good looking dude, you know.
Yeah.
So this is the first time I've seen him back, and he is here, and he's after the what we all know, who we all know is Lobo, long hair, muscle, cigar smoking, you know, motorcycle riding dude. He feels like he's been given bad information by the one who's hired him, and he's been led to Dr. Veritas as well, the core of the Earth, the center of the Earth, and he basically goes toe to toe with Supergirl. And, you know, Dr. Veritas says, look, if he is Caesarian, which is who his race of people is a dying, almost extinct population, much like Kryptonians. She's like, he is the most powerful villain foe you're going to face. He's super strong and he's just deadly in all way, shape, and form. But they go to toe-to-toe, and I won't give away the end because there's definite ending, let's put it that way, to their fight, and I don't want to give it away, but I'm kind of confused what they're doing with Lobo. I just don't know where he's fitting in. I don't know if he's gonna be part of any of this Red Daughter of Krypton. There's no been teases about it. I didn't even know he was gonna be in Supergirl, but it's basically her fighting Lobo is what it boils down to. And again, she's lost. It kind of feels. You know, I would say it's a filler issue between the Return to Krypton and then moving on into this whole Red Daughter of Krypton. So,
right.
But it's decent. It's fun. It's you know, it's worth checking out if you like Supergirl. So are we ready for Batman Two-Face?
Sure.
Nice. All right. Batman Two-Face. This is issue 26 of the Batman / whoever it's going to be. But Two-Face has been the running character for a while now. And this was, go ahead and, since you just finished it up, tell me what your thoughts were. Because I really like this issue. I like I didn't know much about the twins, Shannon, and is it Rachel? Is his sister's name? Aaron, not even close. Aaron and Shannon. I didn't know. I've been on this book, and I wasn't sure her whole storyline because, you know, Batman basically broke her out of Blackgate. And it starts off very promising. I like the opening a lot, how that worked out, how they had the conversation and big reveal,
right.
How Bruce Wayne is dealing with her. And then I like the backstory they had of the twins and how that came about. I like that was interesting. I thought that was a cool story, but tell me what you thought since say you just finished it up.
Yeah, I liked it too. I'm glad we, you know, finally got that backstory because wasn't exactly sure what happened, and you know, very interesting. I mean, very surprising how, but it hasn't really revealed, I guess, everything, right? Because I was still questioned on how the actual one got out. Is that what you're talking about? The Batman break him out or
Batman broke her out.
Blackgate, yeah. So
and supposedly drugged her, and then she wakes up at Bruce Wayne's, and he's like, "Oh yeah, Batman," you know.
So why?
Because Batman has known, actually Bruce Wayne has known her since they were kids.
Correct.
I mean, he's known their families, and she's one of the you know, part of the major crime families in Gotham. So,
but why did the other sister do that? What she did, Shannon.
I think they have some sort of connection, and she's able. I think she has a split personality because her sister is part of her now because they're twins. They have a bond, and when she killed herself, she got transferred basically into her sister, so they're like two persons in one. That's why she, you know, her cousin, I guess, the guy who picks her up,
yeah,
you know, he's like, so we have to cure this split personality of yours, which is interesting because she has a split personality of her sister actually as part of her, and then we have Harvey Dent a split personality, so they come face to face, which I thought was pretty poignant actually. I thought it was a cool little parallel there,
right? No, very good. The Batman, a lot of good action in it at the end.
That was awesome action at the end. That was a huge fight.
Yes.
I love it when they keep reading it.
Yeah, I love it when Batman gets some, does some good action like that. And this has always been, this is Batman and Robin has always been good with the action, I felt like. Even with Robin, even with Damian. That's what I really liked about Damian was the way Tomasi just, and the artist, who's the artist? I don't know if it's always been the same
Patrick
artist.
Gleason. He's been the main. He's done the majority of the run, if not all of it.
I mean, he just. I remember just the those early issues when Damian was just going off on people. Man, those are just awesome panels. Especially before he actually, you know, because at first he was just killing people. He wasn't right. Stopping them. He was just killing them. And I remember some of those issues were just graphic as hell. It was really good.
Yeah, that was a really cool panel during the fight scene where there's a big close-up of, and it actually split right down the middle of the page and the fold there of Harvey Dent.
Yes.
Split face. That's a really cool, that's a great drawing of him. So, yeah, it boils down to she gets dragged to Two-Face and Batman comes to save her and big action sequence. And I'm interested to see, because this goes for a while. This is still going to go for a few more issues with Two-Face. So this is a big storyline considering when they kicked this off, it was going to be, because actually it was funny because issue 25, for customers who have actually subscribed to that book, it comes up on their pull list as Batman and Carrie Kelly. Because that's what it was originally solicited as when it first was launched. So for it to be Batman and Two-Face still, obviously there's a switch there and it's going to happen for a few more issues. But interested to see where it goes. I'm liking the storyline so far. It's a cool, we haven't had a Batman Two-Face extended story in quite a while. So this is the first of the new 52 of like a long story with him. It's cool because you have, and Batman, you're dealing with Batman and the Riddler, and then you got Batman and Two-Face, and Penguin's always kind of involved somewhere in one of those. Sure, detective, but yeah, I dug it. It's fun. Good. All right.
And you still got Clayface in Dark Knight.
Which one's ending? Dark Knight or...
Dark Knight is ending. Yeah. And I think Detective's right now. Detective has Man Bat, right? That's what he messed with.
Because Detective's going to be, at 27, it's going to be the big, huge, spectacular issue.
That's cool.
So that's going to be big. And
Gothtopia or something like that starts?
Yeah, it's going to go into Gothtopia. That's going to be a big, huge storyline between, Batgirl and Catwoman, Birds of Prey, and Detective. So we'll see how that all ties in. That's gonna be an interesting story. I'm gonna pick up all that crossover too. At least I'm gonna start on it and see how it goes. But some interesting developments in that one, for sure. All right, we said, Image had a crap ton of books this week. Most notably, we had Black Science, East of West, Pretty Deadly, Revival, Saga, and Sex. I got to read all those. And let's go backwards in order. We'll start with Sex number 9. This was the first time, throughout the entire Sex series, there's always been hints of Shadow Lynx, Armored Saint, all those characters, but they're always using like a couple panels, a couple battle, flashbacks to when they were. This was kind of the first full-fledged flashback to an actual big fight that connected all the characters. It connected Keenan when he was a hero. It connected Armored Saint. It connected Shadow Lynx. And it also connected the old man.
Right.
Gangster. So that was the kind of the first big sequence. Now, One thing I found interesting was how they still, it's, and I don't know, Joe Casey's obviously doing this on purpose, but they're telling it from, at least from when they deal with Armored Saint or the Saint, he's like, it's always his point of view where you don't see like a third person shot of him ever, regardless of what it is, where he's talking to someone, but it always flashes back to his point of view in any situation. And I was interested why they're doing that. considering they're showing everybody else, you know, as their now superhero and or villain character. But what was your take on?
To be honest, I think this was my favorite issue so far of this series. It's been good, but with like you, it's, you know, you always had them talking about it in all these issues, and finally you would get to see. And this was only, I guess, what was it? What did I say? It was like only 2 years ago. To this point, so
yeah, it hasn't been long. He's retired. I mean,
right. But yeah, you get to actually see them in action, and so it was good to actually start seeing visuals to what they were talking about, and like I said, I thought it was a very good issue. You get to know all the characters a little bit deeper, get a little bit past of them, their past, and just I enjoyed reading it. Like I said, that was probably my favorite one out of the 9 issues so far. So I'm definitely eager to see where that goes.
Yeah, this is the first one that tied all the characters together. I mean, they always have the panel at the beginning, you know, telling all who the characters are, but it finally tied Simon, Annabelle, Keenan, the old man, the prank addict even, and Quinn, who they always say at the beginning, like, you know, she was their mentor, puppet master, but she's deceased. This we could see her, you know, she was the point person for Cook. I mean, she was the one, Simon, telling him what to do, and Keenan was his sidekick, and of course Annabelle was Shadow Lynx, who's the villain, and the old man, who's the ultimate villain, and the prank addict was just his crazy villain who was tied into it all as well. But it was, yeah, that was the first little tie-in. That was a really good, I like the action in it. I like seeing that, because this build-up has been good. It's been good. It's always been good. But they're still combining the sex in there.
Yeah.
No mistaking that.
No. It's there's a couple page-turners there that are like, whoa.
And, I tell you what, the old man just creeps me out, though.
Yeah.
Especially when they show him having sex. It's like, yeah. I don't need to see that.
Yeah.
And the prank addict, his little prank he pulls when he goes to see the old man afterwards. I'm like, do I need to witness that? I don't know.
I know.
But, hey, it's edgy. That's Joe Casey's style.
This,
I mean,
this definitely could not be an AMC show. This would have
to do some serious revisions on this.
No, this would have to be definitely like an HBO show. I could see that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I guess it could, too. It'd be a hard R HBO
yeah, I know. Show. Yeah, you'd have yeah.
So like I said, I'm going in reverse order here, but Saga number 17 came out, and I, quite honestly, this should have been called Sex. That's the reason I'm pulling up right after Sex, is because what's interesting about this story is that we have Prince Robot, who is still going after... He's gone to the author's home, where they're all stored up in his lighthouse, trying to avoid Prince Robot. And it's a nice dialogue between, because you know they're at war right now. The planets are, everybody's at war, and Prince Robot talks to the author. Forgive me for not knowing his name, but they explain what the opposite of war is. They say that, you know, we all automatically think, and the common thought process is the opposite of war is peace, correct? Well, Prince Robot tells him, you know, opposite of peace is just a break in the action. It's not actually the opposite of war. And we find out why sex is so important, because the opposite of war would be, yes.
Huh.
He says sex in a very explicit way. More about the act itself, right. What actually happened. So that's an interesting perspective on it. And we still have the Will, who was his throat slashed by the little girl. He's still alive, but he's not doing too well. And it continues to be one of the better comics out there. It's totally out there as far as the characters and the storyline, but it's really good. What I really like about Saga is that they don't have the writing itself, and it's not, you would think with a story that's kind of this weird and characters and different, universes and things like that. It would get very, a lot of exposition going on, a lot of dialogue, but they managed to keep it very fast paced. I mean, you can blow through an issue of Saga like in a few minutes. You can't pretty much any comic. It just goes, the pacing is so quick. They don't do a lot of huge dialogue bits, which I like. It's keeps it fast paced, and it feels like you go through it so fast that you're ready for another. You could sit down and probably read an entire trade of Saga and blow through it as fast as you can with a comic book. It just kind of flows like that. But it's good as always. I've been reading Revival, and that's been consistently good. That's good this week as well. Now, Pretty Deadly, I gotta be honest with you. I don't know if I'm smart enough to understand Pretty Deadly. Because there's a lot going on, and we have basically the female embodiment of death, and she's chasing after the butterfly and the bunny, and they're both manifestations of a little girl and an old man, and an actual butterfly and an actual like skeleton rabbit, and it's good. I love the art in it. I like Kelly Sue DeConnick's writing in it. It's just I think I get confused very easily. I'm like, what just happened? Because it's very, again, there's a lot of heady stuff going on here. It's a lot of metaphors, and those metaphors get turned into physical drawings, and you have to kind of keep up with where these people are and who they are and where they're traveling, because they're on the run basically from death. But you get a nice backstory, and you do get a nice backstory on this, and get some details about why, quote unquote, the butterfly and the bunny are on the run. Kind of get the first real taste of what their predicament really is. So, I recommend the book, and if you're smarter than me, which most people are, it should be easy for you to follow. But I like the it's kind of twisted and has that cool element of Western and sci-fi, which leads us right to East of West, number 9.
Yeah.
Came out. And again, this consistently continues to be one hell of a book. I love these characters. I like this one a lot, because we all know about the message, and we all know about the horsemen and everything like that, but I think here we get a lot more tangibility as to the woman who's president, become president, and how she rules her people, gets them under control. But we see there's a revolt going on in the city, and we see death going after what turns out to be a very scary looking prisoner. But what did you think of East of West this week?
Yeah, well, it's funny how you just described Pretty Deadly is kind of how I've been feeling about East of West the past few issues, because I've been almost like, man, I don't know if I'm smart enough to follow all this, because there was a time between, I guess, what issue is this? Was 8? Was this number 8?
This is 9.
Number 9.
This is number 9.
So like there was a time, like I think it was 5, 6, 7, you know, I was like, man, there's just a lot going on. So, but I felt like this one came back and kind of simplified things a little bit more, because like you said, it was mainly about the president and her role and what she's doing and who she's, but yeah, and her, how this issue ended with her was pretty awesome.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So and of course, like you said, that prisoner, you know,
that was an awesome spread, by the way.
Yeah, very much so.
Because that was a great reveal. I was like, "Whoa, is freaky!"
Yeah, there was a good amount of suspense in this book and a lot of tension. But it was very simple and very easy to follow. So that was it was a good break for me in a way, because I was getting, because like you said, there's so much going on. There's so many characters to like in this, but there is a lot of characters. So. I feel like if you sat down and just read them, you know, like a trade or something like that, it'd probably be a lot easier. But you know, with how many books we read and you know, that it can get lost a little bit if you don't follow it as closely.
Yeah, that's one of the trades I picked up was East of West when it first came out, because, again, their first trades are $9, $10. So I it's one, because I don't want to – I mean, I'm a collector as well, so I like to buy my first issues, put them away. But, you know, I want to go back and read that story like in one sitting, just sit down and read it all the way through and get kind of a better picture. Because it can, a month in between or even a month and a half, depending on what happened, especially when the trade came out. It can get, you need to get refresher. And it's good and it's bad in some aspects. You know, some books I do like kind of a little recap at the beginning to just kind of give me a refresh my memory. Even if it's the same thing, if you give me the same information, just kind of rereading that kind of helps me. Oh, yeah, okay, I know what's going on. Or just add a little, extra line about what's actually happening, whatever. But sometimes it gets a little tedious, and AC West doesn't do that. It's like, that you just picks up where it left off and you just got to roll with it. But that's Hickman. I mean, that's Hickman's style. And I think my favorite part of this, again, I did like it was more grounded this time. We had just the president dealing with the revolt in the city and why your city's on fire, and still dealing with the other three apocalypse kids. Mm-hmm. But I did like the whole thing with Death going in that with his group. Go into that wall, and he just plants that. It's like when I say he plants a flower, and the whole thing like opens up, and then he sees the Oracle.
Yes.
And that was just a scary, creepy reveal. I mean, I'm still looking at that page here, and the Oracle's face is just, that's twisted, man.
Yeah,
that's some twisted stuff. But it's cool. I really dig East of West. I think it's been a great series. One of my favorites from Image for sure. And another one that I'm really, really digging, and it's becoming a hugely popular book, is Black Science. Matter of fact, we had a customer call and want us to order Black Science number 2 before it actually even was shipped to us. And it was already sold out at the distributor level. Like, we couldn't get it. It was already gone. And Black Science is, it's cool because Rick Remender, who does write for Marvel on a lot of books, he does, he's got a very distinctive storytelling style where he will tell you, look, I've got a 25 issue arc. This is what it is. It's 25 issues where you get the, I got more beyond that, but it's like literally the meat of the story is 25 issues. So where he's writing for Marvel, a couple of books are only at, 18, 19. So we're like kind of almost in the middle of the story. He likes to tell a complete story, but Black Science, he's doing something completely different. And this is more of a sci-fi story where he drops you, in the first issue, he drops you right in the middle of the story. And it's basically about scientists. It's best scientists who have science without morals. Let's put it that way. They're time traveling. They figure out the way to time travel, different universes, different time space continuums and all that kind of stuff. But their machine that they have has been broken. It's been damaged. So they're jumping at these random intervals and in random places. They don't really have control over where they go and how they get there. And the lead scientist is trying to get his family, his kids who are with him right now, back home. And it kind of tells the story of how they discovered this particular portal, I guess it's called. And it's a crazy book, but it's really, really, really well done. Rick Remender, I'm on most of his stuff, and Matteo Scalera, who actually does the art, is phenomenal. He's great with these weird, mind-bending characters, and it seems like because it is science without morals that literally anything can go. There's no limits to where this story is going to go, or how weird it's going to get, or how the first issue had creatures that were just beyond belief. These frog creatures battling these other ones, and It was really, really well done. And I highly suggest if you want a good, great sci-fi, unique story to check out Black Science. It's more than I expected. It one of these ones when I first heard about it, I heard Remender. I'm like, okay, I dig Rick Remender, so I want to check this out. But man, surprisingly good, and excited for. And it's actually what's cool is the first issue. It's only been 3.5 weeks since the first issue, so it hasn't been a full month. So they were able to crank out some. It looks like a lot of work is going into that book. So I highly recommend it. That's just my two cents. I don't know. Nobody listens to me anyway. Because I read weird stuff, man. I'm getting weirder. I think as I get older, I get weirder. Weirder, crazier things.
That's what we do on the show. We get into everything.
I mean, I dig all my superhero stuff, man, but I'm getting into these weird, crazy, dark, weird worlds. Magic and science.
Yeah, I like that stuff.
Time travel and space. Well, see, this is kind of new territory for me because I'm more, you know, I'm not much of a, I mean, I like sci-fi. I love sci-fi. I mean, but I wouldn't say that's my first thing I gravitate to is sci-fi, but I dig it. I mean, but I'm digging it more and more as I go along. So it's kind of a new, you know, it's a new experience for me, new stomping grounds. I will have to say that I was really heavy on Marvel this week. I had a lot of books for me anyway, for Marvel. I got 4 books. That's a lot for me for Marvel. Superior Spider-Man, it all hits the fan here. Peter is now controlled, or he's got control of Venom, or at least he thinks he does. And he goes after literally everybody. He goes after Aunt May. He goes after Mary Jane, or confronts everyone. He's getting twisted and warped by this suit. He's ready to take on Cardiac head on. He doesn't realize that Flash Thompson is his best friend, and it's just getting bad. It gets to the point. This is where I think we start to see the downfall of this of Doc Ock, Spidey, because it is, I believe it's Mary Jane who actually makes a phone call, and she makes a phone call to a particular team to say, look, he's gotten out of control. We don't think it's Peter. Or at least some people don't think it's Peter. And we need some help. So trouble is on the way in the form of a new team of heroes. I won't give it away because it's going to be a big storyline. It's going to lead into the whole Goblin storyline as well, because the Goblins are still involved here. So a lot going on there. X-Men number 8. It's been pretty good. There's a lot going on here. We got Typhoid Mary and the new Lady Deathstrike going after the X-Men, right in their compound, and it's interesting. I like where it's going so far. I'm still gonna give it a few more issues to see how it's going. Terry Dodson's doing art on it, so I'm always jumping on that. And the two big ones were All New X-Men and Uncanny Avengers. All New X-Men, you know, X-23 has come back from her whole ordeal with Avengers World, Murder World, the Avengers Academy. And this one here, we have literally the new X-Men, or the original X-Men, dealing with her coming back to life and letting her know, you know, they're finally realizing that Wolverine was actually purposely created, and X-23 is a clone of him, or clone from his DNA. And they take X-23 into battle against the Saviors, who are trying to wipe out mutants. And that's where this is going. It's got action packed. It's got some. It's kind of wordy at the beginning, then we get a lot of action at the end. So All New X-Men's been continuing to be good, but my favorite Marvel book this week, by far, highly recommend this getting out. And this is another big fan of mine, Rick Remender, who's doing Uncanny Avengers, man. Uncanny Avengers is awesome. And this really boils down to, we still have the Apocalypse twins who have now decided to, this is what they call, this is just called Rapture. And this is the episode, this is the book where the whole plan was Scarlet Witch, who's actually, I can probably say this now, I don't know if I said it last time we talked about this book, but issue 14 had major, 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 major consequences in it. And it was kind of shook up the whole Marvel universe, because Scarlet Witch and Rogue were both killed. last in issue 14, Scarlet Witch was killed when Rogue, who didn't know her true allegiances, went after her. And then Rogue was killed by one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse who've been regenerated, the Sentry and Dakin. And they, I mean, she's, I don't know how she's going to come back from this because she's pretty much incinerated into bones, is all I can say. She was like killed. She wasn't like, I got stabbed, killed. She's like, I got disintegrated, killed. And this is where Captain America and Havoc go to fight the Apocalypse Twins head on and try to get on their ship before they try to rapture all the mutants. They basically wanted to do is they want to do a rapture and take all the mutants off Earth and bring them to a new home world. But there's a bigger plan in store for them because Captain America gets aboard the ship and it's pretty intense. And it looks like I won't give it away, but there's huge implications in the story. And Uncanny Avengers is by far, I think, my favorite Marvel book of all. So I would go back to issue 15. I would go back and get the trades on this or get the single issues because it's been after that first four issues where they had Professor X and Red Skull. Once they get past that, it's been outstanding. If you were a fan of Uncanny X-Force when Remender was doing that, then you should definitely pick up Uncanny Avengers because it's that good. Outside of that, we had Eternal from Valiant. I read Eternal Warrior number 4, Exo Manowar number 20, and Bloodshot and Hardcore. And just to say across the board, recommend all three of those books. Any Valiant title, I highly recommend. There's not a lot they have. They only have 6 or 7. But really good. Exo Manowar ties directly, if you're reading Unity, which is the big team book they have going on now, it ties directly into that. It's important to read all those if you're into that whole thing. But I highly recommend all those stories. Exo Manowar, written by Robert Venditti, who does Green Lantern. So good stuff. Greg Pak does Eternal Warrior, who also writes Superman,
Batman,
and he does some other stuff for DC too, doesn't he? He does a couple of DC books, I believe.
There's another one he just started, and he
he's doing action.
He's doing action now. Yeah, you're right.
He's doing action. So if you're a fan of Green Lantern, Robert Venditti and Greg Pak, I jump on Eternal Warrior. Eternal Warrior's on issue number 4. It's good. Love it. Again, I'm a big fan from Valiant back in the day, so these are all kind of nostalgic for me. But they're one of the more undervalued independent publishers out there, I believe. They're that good. I got some good things coming. All right, so any other thoughts on any books this week, Dave?
No, not really. I'm looking forward to actually this holiday. I'm actually off work for a while. I took off, had some extra vacation time, so I actually took off the days in between New Year's and Christmas and all that stuff. So,
okay,
I have a lot of time, and I figured I'd come hang out at the shop with you for a little bit.
Nice.
But I have a lot of time to actually read up on, catch up on some books, kind of like you. Like, one definitely for sure is, or two definitely for sure is Flash and Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Those are two I really want to get back into and reading again. So I'll be picking those up regularly again. So I got to go back and read up on that. So I'll be doing that, and maybe, I think Constantine only got a few there, but that's what I'm looking forward to doing, I guess.
There's advantages to having a light week. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to Forever Evil and Justice League because just love those books. But having a light week, I'm like you. I've got time, some downtime, got family over. People be after the whole opening presents and hanging out, probably have some games. We got some board games for the kids this year. So we'll do some fun things this time around. But, while things are going on, everybody's stuffed from the meals. Everybody's kind of chilling out. I'm about to break up my books and catch up on some, I'll probably read east to west all the way through again. I'm going to get caught up on Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Get caught up on all those. I'm pretty close on those. Like, much like probably with Constantine, I'm kind of get close on those. So, yeah, it gives me some time to pick up on some books and refresh myself on a lot of storylines going into 2014, which we'll be back in 2014. Lots of good stuff coming. Man, it's going to be, I think after first of the year, you know, this is a little downtime for comics. Everybody gets a break for holidays, and there's not a lot of shipping going on with books and things like that. But, you know, we'll get back into it, man. There's going to be some good stuff. We got some great stuff coming from, you know, DC and Marvel in 2014, and
yes.
Looking forward to all that stuff. There's going to be some. I can't wait for. I'm really. I'm like you. I'm kind of. I want to know how much Batman Eternal is going to be. What those stories are going to be, that teaser they had with all those different story lines and bring back Stephanie Brown. And I'm hoping they just do some interesting stuff and really keep it fresh. I know people are like, well, it's another Batman title, but you know what? I actually had a kid come in today. It was funny. A kid came in and he was like, you know, picking up some Star Wars action figures and stuff like that. And they're like, so what's your, I had Harley Quinn up front. Just because number one, and it did well, because people didn't really pick it up on Zero Issue, but they kept asking for it. So I had Harley Quinn up front, and he's like, is this your number one book here? I'm like, well, that's a new number one. So it's not our most popular book. He's like, what's your most popular book? Kid could have been 11 years old at most, you know. I was like, well, probably our top seller right now is Batman. That always sells well for us. And he's like, oh, Batman. There's Batman everything. There's Batman comic books, Batman books, there's Batman TV shows, Batman movie, Batman. I'm like, well, everybody loves Batman. It's good. I mean, if it's good, it's good. And that's my feeling on it. You know, if it's, you can give me, I know there's what, 5 Batman titles. if you really want to expand into the entire Bat family, you have half of DC's line is under Batman, but you know.
Right.
If it's good, it's good. It's a good book. So that's my 2 cents, kid. That's why I said no.
Right. And I was just
like, who are you, little punk? Who are you talking about? No, I didn't say that.
Customer service, man. Customer service.
Where customers come first, buddy.
That's right.
You know me.
Even the 11-year-old.
I'm the king of customer service. No, I'm not. I'm the worst.
No, but I was going to say, you're... To back you up on that 2014 stuff, I mean, just think about all that we've covered a lot of stuff this year. Obviously a ton of books, but just think about, I'm just thinking ahead to next year. I mean, not including the books we're going to read, but all the other stuff we're going to talk about, which is, of course, the second half of all these shows.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got, you know, we've got Spider-Man 2 coming out. We got Captain America coming out. Guardians of the Galaxy will be out later that year. Of course, Comic-Con is going to be crazy this year with not only news probably of Batman and Superman, but the TV show Gotham that's coming out next year, Flash. Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be huge next year.
Come fall of next year, you know, and I'm assuming hopefully this is we're gonna keep doing this, obviously. But
it's hope.
Yeah, but because
we
gotta
do it
through
March, because that's less than Comic Con, so we gotta do some stuff for Comic Con. So,
but that's what I'm saying though. Come fall, I mean, I can't imagine us. I mean, our shows might be 5 hours long because we're going to have so much
to talk about
with these shows. I mean, there literally could be, I mean, just DC alone, it looks like it's going to be 5 shows next fall. And then you're talking maybe if there's going to be a Shield still. But then there's all these Marvel coming out on Netflix, you know? I mean, with Daredevil and Luke Cage, I guess, and Iron Fist and... Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm getting my Google Chromecast for my TV, I'm gonna be watching a lot of Netflix stuff.
It's gonna be so much. It's really crazy how much the superhero comic book stuff is really taking.
We're gonna have to do a podcast like every day.
Yeah.
Not weekly. We're doing a daily podcast.
We get a sponsorship by then. Maybe we are doing it every day. Who knows?
Do a daily show. A daily comic show. Who knows? I mean, that's a lot going on for 2014. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to the break. Catching up on some books. That's the whole thing. I think about that too. It's like I started writing reviews online back in February because I look back at my folder and I started writing back in early February of last year or this year. So I'm coming up on a 1 year anniversary of me not only reading a lot of books, but talking about a lot of books every week and then writing reviews on books every week. You would think that when I say, oh, here's a break, you know, we're gonna have a holiday break, we're gonna have a week off, celebrating my family and things like that. And you think that, oh, well, you know, I'm gonna take a break, but I'm gonna be reading more comics actually, probably. Because yes. I won't be reading new comics, but I'll still be going back and reading all my other stuff. So there's not gonna be a lack of comic book reading going on by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, and another thing we have to squeeze in is we did it last year. We need to go see The Hobbit sometime during this break.
Yes, I'm interested too because I'm getting mixed reviews on The Hobbit.
I have gotten mixed. Yes.
Jacob at work, he went and saw it. Now, did you know Jacob dressed up last year
for The Hobbit?
To go to The Hobbit?
No,
he dressed up like he just. Oh my gosh, dude! You got to see that. I got to send you. You got to see.
Don't tell me he dressed up like a hobbit.
He dressed up like a the dwarf. Not oh. the, yeah, the dwarf.
The dwarf
the dude with the dude with the huge beard and the helmet. Who in the original Lord of the Rings? Dude, he's unrecognizable. Gimli? I guess, but he looks. You can't tell Tim. He's got so much hair. He's got a sword. Everything. It's like you would think he's a guy who's actually cosplaying this thing. It's not like a cheap little. This isn't a cheap little outfit.
Wow. This he is like sat full through blown. The Hobbit wearing that.
Well, he said he'd like halfway through he had to take the wig and stuff off. It was so hot, but the beard. But you got to ask him to see it. He showed it to me. You have to see this because he's. A buddy has dropped out, and he said I could come see The Hobbit with him, and his friends. And I had to work till I didn't get to work till like midnight, so I wouldn't have made it out there in time. But he's like, "Yeah, you got to come out, man." I dressed up last year, and he showed me the picture. I was like, "Wow, dude, that is that is dedicated." But he had mentioned to me that he saw it, and he said it was good. He liked it. I said, "Well, I'm getting mixed reviews here because I don't know if you saw Rainey's." Facebook post about it.
Yeah,
Rainey is. I think Rainey is. He's critical, but he's a lot like us. He's lenient. He likes his things. He's got his preconceived notions, and he'll let things. He's a little more flexible as far. He's not harshly critical on things.
Well,
necessarily.
Yes and no. When it comes to book related material, he's very critical, and. You know, that because he even says it in his little review about how
right.
This is not The Hobbit that I read, you know, and
right. So it's interesting. It was interesting his perspective because I didn't read The Hobbit, so I don't.
Correct.
I'm out of the loop on that. So for him, I take his word for it when he says, you know, it's too long. It should have been like two movies, not three. Mm-hmm. He said the visuals were great, costumes are great, dragon looked great, all that kind of stuff, but. You know, when I saw him say he was ultimately disappointed, and a lot of people that were on his thread were like, yeah, they were ultimately disappointed too. I was like, interesting. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. You and I think we're both in agreement on the first one.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, it was good, but, you know.
Yeah, it was entertaining. But I don't see, if honestly, it just felt like another Lord of the Rings. It felt like the prequel to a Lord of the Rings, which, I mean, in a sense it is.
But it didn't even feel that epic, though.
It didn't feel as epic. But it seems like what the knock I've been hearing more is that they're really trying to make it a prequel to the Lord of the Rings, whereas in the books, it really is just a separate story about Bilbo and... Not so much the whole Sauron and the ring and all that stuff. He finds the ring, sure, but it seems like they're putting more emphasis on the ring in these movies than the actual story, which is the dwarves trying to get their castle, their homeland back. So,
well, here's a little piece of trivia that's going to blow your mind if you don't know it already.
What's that?
It blew my mind when I found out about it. You know, I think his name is pronounced Azog, the orc, the white orc.
The white orc.
Chase, who's got the stick hand the claw hand or whatever. You know who plays that orc? You don't know, because I found out about it and I looked it up and it's true. Jacob blew his mind. It's going to blow yours even more.
Was it like Christian Bale?
No, it's actually played by the guy who plays Deathstroke, Manu Bennett.
Really?
Yes, he plays the
Wolf. Wow.
Because a guy who hangs out the shop and friends with the owner and everything, he finally caught up on Arrow. He texted me and said it was awesome, loved it and everything. He said, hey, we should do Arrow showings at the store. I'm like, well, if people would come, I'd show it at the store. And we'd put on big TVs and do some Arrow trivia and give away prizes and stuff. That'd be cool. But he's the one who texted me and said, did you know that the guy who plays Deathstroke actually plays Azog or whatever his name is, the orc? And I was like, what? And so I went to IMDb, and sure enough, some of his pictures was him on the red carpet at the screening, the red carpet premiere, and he's credited as that character. Which was really, and I think this is what I find. And I told Jacob that, and when he mentioned, and this is true, I think this is really true, of how I kind of feel about The Hobbit a little bit, is that he said, I'm even a little more disappointed now, because, you know, at least in Lord of the Rings, they did a lot of practical makeup for a lot of the orcs, you know, and you can tell that, you know, the main Azog or whatever his name is, he's completely, you know, he's digital. You know, it's part of motion capture and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, they could have really utilized, because it's not like the guy who plays Deathstroke is a tiny guy. I mean, he's a big dude. You know, you could put some practical makeup on him and let him just play the character. Why make it all CG? And I think that would may have played a little better, because I look back at the Lord of the Rings movies and those orcs, especially some of the close-up shots when they're like howling and stuff like that. You know what? That's all makeup, man. That looks cool. You know, that looks good. I think there needs to be more of that combination of stuff. You know, I mean, there's digital effects that you need, but
yeah.
I don't want the whole movie to be that character, especially if the guy, you know, the guy can play it, because he's also been in Sinbad, or he's been in a couple like TV, you know, sandal sword type things. He's a big dude. I mean, he's played those characters before. So I'm kind of dumbfounded that he's like a motion capture dude. You know, it seems like he would fit that role as playing the character as a bad orc, you know. But that's my two cents. That made sense. I didn't think about that. Jake was like, he would look good like that.
So he's never in that makeup?
Not that I know of.
Because to be honest, that's pretty damn good CG. Because I thought there was some times where he was actually, it looked pretty damn real to me. That's cool, though. I mean, I guess.
Yeah, but I was blown away by that. I was like, what?
Oh, yeah.
And it is him.
He plays they must have gotten some really big people in the original trilogy. Those orc guys. I mean, those were big guys.
They were huge.
Those orc mixed whatever bred with elves thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or they were ex-elves or something like that, whatever. But those are big dudes.
Yeah, no doubt. So, yeah, a little trivia for you.
So we need to, yeah. So we'll go check it out if you want. We'll go check out The Hobbit.
Yeah, I definitely want to see it. I mean, I wasn't the hugest fan of the first one, but, you know, I mean, the visuals are cool. Some good, I want to see the
dragon. You know, holiday movie.
Sure, yeah. See that and see Anchorman 2.
Yeah. Anchorman 2, yeah. I still need to see Hunger Games.
Yeah, we should go check that out. Dude, you'll like it. I think you'll like it as much as I did.
Yeah.
I thought it was much better.
Good.
I like it a lot more than
the
first
one. Got progressively worse as I watched it.
I agree. I felt the same way. I was kind of like, I just felt that her character was so weak.
Right.
I'm like, when is she going to be a badass? And she definitely, I don't know, I think that her surrounding characters are better this time around. I like her, the cast that's around her this time. Because, you know, with her, just her and PETA, it was kind of like the first one, like, you know, I mean, I get it, but this one, she has more of a team with her, and it's much, I don't know, I think it just plays better this time around. I don't know. I didn't read the book, so I'm cold coming from a movie perspective. I have no preconceived notions from the book to how it's supposed to be, so it could be told. If you read the book, you probably may think something completely different, but
right.
From a movie perspective, I thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, man. It was fun. All right. Well, anything else you want to talk about? Next week, well, you know, I think those books are short and sweet next week.
I was just going to mention, I think the only confirmed, I guess, tidbit of news that's out there, I guess, did you see where Paul Rudd is playing?
Actually, yeah, I put that in my notes, but I didn't say anything about it. It's here. Yep, Paul Rudd is confirmed as Ant-Man, which will be out in 2015.
I don't know anything about Ant-Man. Is that weird? Is that good? Is that bad?
I think he can play the part, yeah. I mean, Hank Pym's a scientist.
You're right.
So it's not like he's...
Is he like Barry Allen type scientist? Or like...
He's more like a Reed Richards scientist. He's like that smart. Okay. He's a genius scientist. He's like the second smartest man to like Reed Richards, who's the most smartest man in Marvel Universe, you know.
And so, now Ant-Man, does he have something that makes him shrink, or he just has the ability to shrink?
No, he creates the Pym particles, and that's what makes him shrink and or grow.
But is that part of the suit or something like that, or is it in him? Does he need something else to, you know what I mean? Like, could he do that while he's just standing there in a t-shirt? Or do you have to wear the outfit?
You're getting way too detailed for me.
Oh.
Okay. Pym particles make him grow and shrink. I don't know if the suit makes him do it or not. I don't think so. I think he can pretty much do it because he's had the costume they have him in, at least we've been teased with, was kind of his original costume.
Right.
You know, later on, he's literally just wearing like spandex. He can just shrink and grow.
Okay.
Much like the Atom. He just kind of go up and down. There's no suit. It's the particles that he creates that actually does that. But, you know,
right.
He's important. I'm interested to see because I wonder how they're going to tie this in. Well, I'm interested in because, you know, Avengers 2 is called Age of Ultron. Hank Pym is the one who's directly responsible for creating Ultron. So if Ant-Man comes out first, we're going to see how that ties into the Avengers.
I think they have to put it out first. Because I think they've included that in phase two. So.
Oh, yeah, they have to. I'm just going to see what they're going to do, how they're going to portray that.
Avengers is in July. I'm assuming Ant-Man will be probably in May, right? Because I don't think there's any other movies.
Confirmed date on Ant-Man is they posted yesterday.
Because it was supposed to be in August of 2014, but they moved it, and then Guardians of the Galaxy took its place.
Actually, Ant-Man is scheduled for July 31st, 2015.
Wow. So that is after. That's after Avengers. Avengers is in May, right? Avengers is in May 2015. So.
Avengers 2 is May 1st.
Yeah, so you've got Captain America and Guardians next year, and then you got Avengers 2 and Ant-Man. So Ant-Man's, that's strange, that they're doing out. Because technically that would be phase 3 then, wouldn't it? Because I think each phase ends with an Avengers movie, but I mean, whatever.
Got me, man. You're getting way too complicated.
So that means...
Just put out a damn movie. I don't care if it's phase 2, phase 3, phase 17.
I know,
17,
but that means Ant-Man is going to be competing with Batman Superman that summer.
Yep.
Wow.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Good luck, because Batman Superman is making freaking $1 billion. Easy.
Whew. I got to work tomorrow.
I just got to get ready for Sam's birthday stuff.
Nice.
Her friends, little friends, her class, little birthday party with her class.
All right. What do you have any parting thoughts since we won't be back on the air until, we'll back on the podcast
Until
2014?
Sure. No, I really want to say for this year, you know, we've been doing this since, I think we started this, back in, how was it, April or March or something like that? March or April?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, 46
episodes.
Is 46?
Well, 46, three variants, so yeah, 49.
49 episodes or something like that. So I just want to thank everybody for, you know, tuning in and checking us out and sending us comments and questions and stuff like that. We really appreciate all the feedback, and we, you know, we definitely want more. We hope you guys can help us spread the word, because, you know, I think I speak for both of us in that we really, really enjoy this, in doing this, because we both love comic books. We both love reading comic books. We both love talking about it, because in all honesty, I mean, even if we weren't doing the podcast, this is what we'd be talking about anyway. So, this is, it's just,
I hate this. I don't like this, Dave. It's terrible. I hate this. I wouldn't be doing any of this stuff if you didn't force me to do it.
Right.
So,
yeah, I really have to twist your arm to do this.
Yeah. Hey,
So yeah,
Dave pays me a lot of money to do this. That's what it is.
Yeah,
I get buttloads of cash to do this show.
Yeah, and I'm broke. So no, it's. I just want to say thanks everybody for listening. And hopefully we can grow this thing and people will get behind this a little bit more now. And I will say the one thing we will try to do more of, I think, in the coming year is to get actually some interviews with some people.
Yeah, working on it. Things are happening. Wheels are turning. Wheels are turning at
right.
this point. So
we're going to get some artists on here. We're going to get some writers on here.
Direct. We got some. We got Lexington Comic Con coming up in March.
Yep.
Mid March, we'll be hopefully doing some stuff out there. We'll try to talk to some people. I'd like to get out there and see if I can talk to some of the cosplayers, because some pretty popular cosplayers is going to be there. You know, just some different people, fans.
Totally.
Like Comic Con, see what they're going to do. Take some pictures of people dressed up and put together a whole little package for you, because we're going to cover. Because I'm talking to people I write for online, and I've told them that we have Comic Con coming up. So, you know, if they want me to do some pictures for them, or, you know, write some stories for them or something like that. So we'll tie everything together here and have a big. I know it is Lexington. We know. Understand it's not San Diego, but hey,
we got some big.
It's ours.
There's some big guys coming. Know?
It's getting bigger and better every year. Like I said, Robert Venditti's coming this year.
Venditti's coming.
Carol from The Walking Dead's going to be there. And
William Shatner's going to be there.
Shatner's going to be there. He doesn't have to travel very far, though. He's just coming down the street.
Exactly. He lives here, so that's kind of... But no, there's going to be some... Yeah, they're doing good. That show's definitely growing every year, so...
Yeah, it's fun for us. I mean, you know, it's local, but it's cool. We do that stuff. So, who knows? We could make a trip out to San Diego Comic Con. No, I don't know. Who knows? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it, though? Bucket list, man. Bucket list. I'm getting old. So
that might be the end of the show, because I don't even know what I would want to talk about after that. That would be too. I'd be like the ultimate bucket list, yeah.
So what I like to say for the end of the year is over is I don't want to single out anybody, although I have before, but you people who we talk about quite often and talk to us on Twitter, Facebook, and everything, we really appreciate your input and your feedback, and let's spread the word and build this baby a little bit more, get some more people involved. Thank you for listening. Thank you for spending your time to, you know, again, for tweeting us and hitting us up on Facebook and tweeting us during Arrow and, you know, having those fun conversations. We really appreciate it. It would be fun. That's what we'd be doing anyway, but it's a lot more fun when we get to interact with more people and talk to you guys about comics, because we love doing that. And thank you so much for your support. And everyone have a very happy whatever holiday you celebrate.
Yeah.
I saw a thing on Facebook today. It was great. It said, happy or merry whatever doesn't offend you day, which I've seen things be going. But for us, it's a Merry Christmas to everyone, but happy Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and everything else everyone celebrates. I hope everybody gets what they want for Hanukkah's already passed, so I don't know why I said that, but hope everyone had a happy Hanukkah. I hope you got what you wanted. I hope you get to spend time with friends and family. Hope you get to read some good comics. Hope you get cool comic book stuff. Again, tweet us some pictures. Let us know what you got on Christmas Day. Tweet about it and say, look what I got for Christmas. And be sure to tag us up again on the best titles for 2013, your best comics. Hashtag it with best comics with an X, 2013. Follow Dave at DCottingham21 and follow me at Director421 and follow us, of course, at In the Comics on Twitter. And again, thanks for all the support. We appreciate it. We look forward to doing much more in 2014. And again, also too, have a very safe, very happy new year. If we don't get in touch with you via Twitter or anything like that, but be careful out there and enjoy yourself and look for great things in 2014. Good to go. All right, cool.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Time to bag and board this issue. Send us your thoughts, comments, and questions to info@inthecomics.com or hit us up on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook. Get all those links at inthecomics.com. Thank you so very much for listening to the show this year. Look forward to seeing you and talking to you guys in 2014. Tune in 2014 for issue 47 when we get back at it and get in the mix for David Cottingham.
Take care, everybody, and we appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm Russell Johnson. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. This is In the Comics.
This has been a production of the 21 Network. For more great podcasts, visit 21network.com. To view additional content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/21network. Follow us on Twitter at 21 Network for the latest news and updates. The 21 Network, for the fan and all of us.